For most of his decades-long career, Bill Maher has set the boundaries of where funny political talk can go on American television, first on Politically Incorrect, and for the last 12 years on HBO's Real Time. Maher's combination of unflinching honesty and big laughs have garnered him 32 Emmy nominations. In addition to his television program, he has written 5 bestsellers and is responsible for the documentary Religious. He'll be performing live at UPAC in Kingston on June 6th, doing stand-up where he certainly doesn't shy away from controversy, politics, drugs, faith. Nothing is sacred, which is exactly what his audience wants. It's a great pleasure to welcome Bill Maher to the roundtable. Thanks very much for being with us.
Wow, I don't think I have to say anything now. I think you've silver-tongued it there, Joe. you've laid it all out for the people. I can only make it worse now.
No, that's not true. It's great to have you on the program. I always enjoy speaking to you. You know, it's funny because just before I came in, I did a quick Google search. A quick Bill Maher Google search of news.
Uh-oh.
And it seems, is there always a time where you have ticked somebody off?
Oh, of course. Of course. It's so funny. Also, we were saying in our producers meeting the other day, or last week, when people, who was mad at me? I think it was the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
There's a guy there, the head of the Catholic League. I think, you know what, I think his name is Donahue too, isn't it?
Yeah, well,
I think it's William Donahue. Anyway,
sure, that could be the case.
He once wanted to fight me, you know, like literally punch each other in a parking lot as Jesus would have wanted. But he was mad at me at something I said. I can't remember what it was. And we were laughing about the fact that if you go on the message boards, the first 10 comments will always be obviously from people who never see my show. They just heard about the controversy, and they write, "You're always going after the Catholics. Why don't you say something about the Muslims?" And then when I get the Muslims mad, their first 10 comments are, "You're always going after the Muslims. Why don't you say something about the Catholics?" I just want to say to these people, why don't you watch the show? I go after everybody.
Is there a certain part of you that enjoys that, of enjoying the act of going after everybody?
No. Actually, really? I think the world would be so much a better place, and I would be so much calmer and less stressed if everyone would just agree with me and see that I'm right about everything. But since they don't and they won't, I have to argue. But I don't want to argue. I like it better when everyone agrees.
What does it say, though, that because you argue and because you say what you say in the way you say it, which is a very comical way, most of the time at least, a very comical way, that people get their dander up? There are many people who do satire. There are many people who say outrageous things. But it's something about you, that mix of humor and that mix of fact, that seem to throw people off.
Well, partly it is, as you identify, because I'm mixing the two. So people are not great at understanding hybrids to begin with. But it's also a couple of other things. One, I think when you do use humor, it's a way of getting at the truth that you sometimes can't get at in any other way. And when people laugh, because laughter is, after all, involuntary, people kind of suspect that something in there might be true, even if they didn't want to believe it's true. Oh, I'm laughing. Oh, I guess it could be true. Even if subconsciously they feel that, they know it has some meaning. And the last thing I would say about that is that I don't know if it's me who's changed, but the country has changed in the sense that they're so oversensitive that if you say absolutely anything that anyone disagrees with in any way, they have to make a big stink out of it. I feel like years ago, if somebody said something that someone found somewhat offensive or they didn't agree with, they just went, oh, boy, that guy's off base, and they turned the channel, or they turned the page, or they put another quarter in the machine, or whatever it was. They just went on with their lives. And now it seems like, especially since the advent of the Internet, everything is a cause to make that person go away permanently and make sure everyone hears about this and start a campaign. And I just feel like people need to get a life.
George Carlin told me once that it's different, that he could say something at a show, in a concert, 20 nights in a row, and the audience would roar. He could then do it on The Tonight Show, and he would get all kinds of controversy.
Well, that's, I can totally relate to that, because the audience that comes to see you in concert is the best audience you'll ever have. First of all, it's your audience.
Right.
They bought tickets to see you. Those are the real fans. The people who, it's certainly in my case, and I think George and I are rather similar in this way, the people who really get you, who see the world the way you do. After all, there's an awful lot of entertainment choices. If you're going to actually spend money and get a babysitter and drive somewhere, very often I wherever I'm staying, there'll be people in the hotel. I'll see them. Hey, we're in the elevator. Hey, we came in from blah blah. It's 200 miles away to see you.
Right.
Wow. You know, those are the real fans. So they want you to go there. That's the great thing about doing stand-up. It's one of the reasons why I drag my ass out almost every weekend to someplace in this country to do it, because it's so much more fun than anything else I could do, because I'm with those people who really get me, who, as we would say in the 70s, grok me. And that doesn't happen with a studio audience, especially the Tonight Show, because that's not your audience. That's Johnny Carson's audience, or Jay Leno's audience, or Jimmy Fallon's audience. They're nice people, and they laugh at you, but they're not, but they're a cross-section of America. They're not Bill Maher fans. Even the audience that comes into our studio audience here, because they sometimes are not totally with me on everything. I've been booed by my own audience here in the studio, but never on the road. They want to hear the edge of your reality, the absolute further reaches where you'll go. They want to explore the frontiers, and I am more than willing to do that for them.
Having seen you many times perform live, however, while there is not a boo, there can be a gasp.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Oh, sure.
You can certainly push a button where people are sort of shocked at what you have said.
And please let there never be a day when that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Because if there is, then I'm not really doing my job. I think in show business, you have to find a niche. You have to find some place where only you live, a place you occupy and no one else does. And when you deviate from that, the audience punishes you, and they should. You know, if Prince puts out a jazz album like he once did and I bought it, I'm like, what the hell is this? This guy is not a jazz musician, and that's not why I buy a Prince record. You know, when Jim Carrey does a straight role instead of something manic and really funny, people don't really like that, because nobody can be Jim Carrey when he's being Jim Carrey. And it's the same thing with what I do. And that's part of what I do, is say those things that everyone's thinking or has thought and no one else is willing to say. And I will say it, and I will continue to say it. And when they gasp, it doesn't mean that they're disapproving all the time. It just means they're saying, oh, no, you didn't.
So your current season of Real Time ends when? June?
No, quite a few years now, we go all the way to...
all summer?
Basically, Thanksgiving is right before Thanksgiving is our last show. We do take a month off in August. And we take a month off in December. But other than that, we're on pretty much all through the year with, weeks off here and there like any show.
And what is it like when you go out? How much are you getting a gauge of what perhaps will work on the show? Or are they two very separate entities for you?
No. They totally feed each other. I mean, that's another prime reason why I go out on the road, is because as someone who does a show from Hollywood, which people think of as not even part of America sometimes, I feel like it's my obligation to see the country so I'm able to talk about it. When I hear the Tea Party say things like, I want my country back, I always want to say to them, hey, pal, you don't know what's out there in the country. I actually do. I see this country from corner to corner. I go everywhere. I've been to Alabama twice this year already. Okay? So I know, and your country hasn't gone anywhere. I don't know where you are worried it had disappeared to, or I guess Obama took over because, he's a crazy person from Kenya, or whatever you think. But I see America, and your country is still the country that you always thought it was. It's still the same country fried chicken fried emporium that you were worried about. And I feel like when I come back to Los Angeles to do my show, I have a sense of what America is because I've been there. And when you travel, you're forced to, and I enjoy actually, talk to people. You talk to the, you know, kid who drives you in from the airport and those people you see in the elevator and people you see in the hotel bar and people backstage at the show, whoever. You just talk to people, and I like doing that. I like when I get to whatever town I'm playing. First of all, I like to find out what the local stories are, because if you sprinkle a little of that in the show, the audience always loves it. And so I feel like I know America better than a lot of the other people who just talk about it.
When you go out on tour, are you working on a set as well? Are you working on that perfect hour, or are you always, is that always transforming? It's not just like the next HBO special, or is it a specific sort of changing entity each and every time?
Oh, yeah, I'm never thinking about an HBO special. I mean, I've done a bunch of HBO
right.
specials, but every time I do one, I did one just last September, I always think, well, that's the last time I'm going to do that. Not because I don't love HBO, but just because I don't know why I'm giving it away on HBO, because I really just want that to be an experience. You know, Jay Leno told me this a long time ago. Jay Leno's never done any kind of special. He said, you know, I want people to know that the only way they can see what I do live, that special experience, is by going out and seeing me live. And in theory, I believe in that. And yet I always get talked into doing these specials. But no, what's important to me is that I give the audience that comes out to see you a very special experience that they can't get from television. And you can't. It's very different. The special, as I just mentioned, that I did in September, I will not be doing one joke from that special. Mm. And here we are just in June. Because luckily, when you work out of the newspaper like I do and what's going on in the world and national events, it changes a lot. You know, back in September, we didn't have six people in the presidential race. We didn't have any. And those are just the declared ones. Now we have a whole race going on. We have a lot of things going on that we didn't have back in September. So I like to cover all those things. Basically, I like people to feel like after they've seen my show, I covered every sort of important story and important phenomenon, important trend, important theme that's going on in the world. And, of course, in the stand-up show, made it all funny, because when you're doing stand-up, you know, you really want to be, of course, only bring the funny. If they wanted something else, they could get that experience. But when you actually go out to see a stand-up show, don't be a humorist. Don't be a lecturer. You know, be funny.
And this is what makes you so good, is that you can come out and, much like coming to our town and learning from us, we learn from you as well. You will tell us about what the drought is like in California.
It's dry. Yes, I let my lawn go. I have beautiful pictures of dirt now that I'm very proud of, because, you know what? Take one for the team. This is going to be my theme this year for America. Take one for the team. I feel like our biggest problem in this nation is that nobody ever takes one for the team. Nobody ever gives an inch on their own little fiefdom, their own little private issue that they're lobbying for. You know, why doesn't the state of Iowa say, you know what, Iowa's not really representative of this country. We're just going to give up our place as the state that has the first primary, because it so skews the national election, and we don't deserve it. Do that. Give one up for the team. How about the Cubans in Miami? How about them saying, you know, Obama's trying to get something going here with this island that we isolated for 60 years for no real reason. You know what? We're going to stop trying to stand in the way of that. We're going to take one for the team, because it's been kind of selfish that we've been holding this up for all these years when the whole country would benefit if we didn't do that. Take one for the team. So that's my theme, and that's why I let my lawn go.
Bill Maher will be performing live at UPAC in Kingston on June 6th. You can find out more information by going to bardavon.org. Bill Maher, I'm very happy that you exist.
Oh, that's sweet, Joe. I appreciate it. Always great to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
All right.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.